You know how people say greatness recognizes greatness?
Oh, for goodness sake.
I would say greatness recognizes goodness in this case.
What?
Like the Hammer, who's gonna dominate today at 7:45, by the way. I mean, just lock it in. I mean, Seltzer, you might as well just put in at least a 4-for-5 or 5-for-5 today, all right? And victory 265.
You're feeling a little jaunty.
Lock it in.
Why so confident today?
Because I'm the Hammer.
I've seen you lose how many times?
42. You've
not
seen,
enough.
42
John,
times.
You've seen me win 264.
All right, but 42 losses, it's starting to sound like it's a big compounded number.
And Michael Jordan went 72-10 one year, which ratio-wise is very similar. Jordan's almost catching up to me. Good morning, everybody.
It's not
Yo,
72
don't say that.
10,
you're an idiot.
Man. That's so...
Extrapolate that
such
out.
Such a different concept.
Kind of close. I think Jordan's a slightly better ratio.
Oh,
but it's
thank you,
all right, let's welcome in a man who went one time as the general manager of the Phillies, 102-60. It's not quite 72-10, but the 2011 Phillies were quite a squad. Unfortunately, our squad is not still playing, even though the World Series starts tonight. Mr. Ruben Amar. Good morning, Rube.
Good morning. And you're digging on yourself pretty heavy right now. Slow it down.
But
pat it down.
But, Ruben, here's why I go there. I have very little in my life.
Okay.
I have this one thing.
Well, that makes sense, then.
I have this one thing called beat the Hammer. It's all I got.
All right.
It's all I got.
Okay.
You know?
All right, then that's okay.
How you feeling, Rube?
I feel okay. I'm a little disappointed in some things that are going on right now in Philly sports.
Floor is yours. Okay, give me your 1, 2, 3. What do you got?
Well, the whole Embiid thing is baffling to me. It's perplexing. I don't really understand what's happening. I'm not big on the whole load management thing, and I'm not sure whether this man is truly healthy. It sounds to me, it sniffs to me that he's not healthy.
I agree with you.
And that bothers me. And even if he's not healthy, they're not telling you the truth. And if he is healthy and they're holding him back, then I think it's ridiculous. It's not right for the league. It's just not right.
And the league will probably not permit it to go on for too long.
I don't think so.
Sixers can probably play peekaboo for a week, but I don't think they can play peekaboo for a season.
It's not fair to the fans.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. It's about the fans. I know that. I think back to David Montgomery, right? It's always about the fans. It was always about the fans for day. They were fans and one. Players, two, and then the rest of the organization.
Did he really say that? Fans, one?
Well, I mean, he cared about the fans more than anybody I've ever known. No question about it. And I think it's unfair to the fans.
I agree with
you. That's
why
we play the sports.
And, Ruben, particularly those that put good money out for season tickets. I mean, that is marketed come see Joel Embiid play. I mean,
Hard-earned money, man. They're hard-earned money.
That's not right.
It doesn't make sense. Doesn't it feel like there's going to be more that we learn? Like, there has to be more.
Yeah, I think the knee's worse than
the understanding.
100%.
Yeah. Well, the curtain needs to be pulled back a little bit.
We all seem to know that there's more to this. Like, what's holding them back from just letting a little more of the cat out of the bag?
Joel.
Like, it's so, yeah.
Well, no, but John, here's the one thing I'll say that is possible. It is possible that their plan from 3 months ago was to play him 45 games this year, and they just choose to have three of the games he missed be the first three. I mean, that's not inconceivable.
I feel as though it is inconceivable.
But if you,
because as an athlete, it really is. All you can do is wait and wait and wait, like opening night and getting back to the next season. You put so much work in. Like Tyrese Maxey is in that gym at 5 a.m. every day. Like, he's dying to get back out there and have it actually count. Like, that's all you look forward to. You're just dying to get out there and play. Like, how can we have our star saying, you know what, first week.
We don't know if it's
doesn't
him
matter.
Saying that. We don't know if
I
it's
know,
him saying that.
Yeah. We don't know
I'm
where
sure
it's
he
coming
would love
from.
To be out there.
We know that there's so much wrong with all of this, and the fact that they're being obtuse on top of it makes no sense.
Yeah, no, it's frustrating. All right, so everyone can weigh in on the Sixers with Embiid. Obviously, the Eagles. It's a big game on Sunday. It's a great opportunity, man. If they get this one and get to 5-2, that would be fantastic. One more thing before we get right back to the calls, Ruben. I'm curious where you stand on this. Rhea has disagreed with me, and a lot of people have, and that's fine. But I take hope, Ruben, out of who's in the World Series for the Phillies' future? Namely, that the Dodgers and the Yankees got bounced repeatedly the last couple of years quickly in the playoffs. And I know they both had the two biggest you know, moves this offseason with Soto and Otani. But I also don't expect the Phillies to not have moves. I mean, they got deep pocketbooks, too. I get hope out of these two teams in. A lot of people seem like they don't. Do you?
I do. I do because I think, you know, when you get into the playoff situation, it really is a crapshoot. I've seen it. I've seen it happen time and time again where the best teams do not necessarily win. It's the teams that play the best baseball. And I do believe that the talent level on the Phillies ball club is still very, very high. I think that they do need some pieces. And I do have a lot of confidence in Dave Dombrowski and John Middleton and others who are making decisions about the organization to make those moves and improve the ball club somehow.
Well, look, I want to pose that question to everyone listening because we love the Phillies. We obviously so wish they were playing tonight. I mean, what a different show and different vibe we'd have if Game 1 of the World Series was here tonight. But I'm just curious. Yankees, Dodgers, they both lost a lot in the first playoff round that they've played the last couple of years. They're in it now. Does that give you hope on the Phillies for next year? Or do you just completely swat that aside? 215-592-9494. Let's go to JB right now in Chestnut Hill. Good morning, JB.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, folks.
What's up, JB?
How you doing, Jack?
Good.
Good, pal. How you doing?
Awesome.
He's got a girlfriend, JB. He's doing great, man.
Does?
Is that official?
Yeah, it was unleashed like a week ago.
Wow.
Apparently, he's got a girlfriend.
It's out there.
Yeah, it is official.
Congratulations.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Bravo.
It
bravo,
feels
bravo.
Fantastic.
He might start crying over it.
Oh, stop. Stop.
Right,
I
might start crying over it. Oh. I mean, listen, I'm not saying it's man discovers fire, but it's a big deal.
You don't need
this
to cry
really
if you're happy.
Why? That's when I cry, when I'm happy. Anyway, hello, Joe.
That meant everything to me. Let's go to the phones. 888, I'm sorry to cry. I'm just very emotional.
Yeah, sometimes.
Joe, that doesn't
even sound like you.
That doesn't
it's
sound
so
like
crazy.
Him at all. It sounds like some actor or something.
Yeah, that's me.
It sounds like someone doing a bad impression of you.
All right, JB, what do you got, buddy?
Sounds like Joe crying in his bathwater. Anyway, but it's definitely not John. John, you know who invented the elevator?
No.
Archimedes.
Wow. Seriously?
And yeah, modern day was that Elijah Otis, whose name is all over every elevator.
I've seen Otis all over the
totally.
Place. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah,
that's
he's one of those guys.
I was going to say Otis.
His name lives on. Oh, everywhere you say Otis.
It is. It's in every elevator.
I know.
So that was actually the guy's name who invented the modern version of the elevator after Archimedes,
It's like when your car's going to get towed. What's that name you always see around town? Is it Lou Bloom?
George
it's
Lou Blom.
Lou Blom.
Oh,
yeah.
Lou
no
Blom.
Doubt. Shout out to Lou Blom.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
Lou Blom, your car's going to get towed.
It's like when I wish my last name was Tyvek or whatever it was.
All right, JB, give me a quick Eagles point, my man.
Good old Elijah Otis. Anyway, I think you're going to see the ups and downs of this team again. Last week it was... Yeah, you know, Saquon went home, pounded the Giants into submission. The Bengals have like the 25th, 26th, 27th, something in that range, ranked secondary. They're going to be really bad. I think you're going to see a shootout, and it's got to go through Jalen because they're pretty good against the run, and obviously the Eagles have gotten better against the run.
They're not that good against the run.
They've been better the past couple weeks. They got better the past couple weeks. The Bengals, they held out. I mean, Derrick Henry had the 51-yard run. But they had kind of bottled them up most of that game till overtime.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, they're better than the numbers look at. They're actually a pretty solid team. And also, 24 years we haven't beaten the Bengals? It's just a weird – I know we don't play them every year. It's just a weird thing.
Well, JB, that's part of why there's no bathtub time machine today. I mean, I thought about it earlier in the week. I'm
what were you going to use?
What's the point? I mean, it's not fun.
Two ties.
JB, I know.
Oh, that's right.
JB, give me a great answer. The most stylish person ever.
I was talking to James about this. I'm going to throw back a little bit. How about Jackie O? Jackie
That's the answer I was looking for.
Wow.
Okay. Joe, as soon as you said you were looking for a specific answer, I knew it was going to be Jackie O.
Yeah. I mean, look, maybe she can get beat here. Maybe. We'll see. But, I mean, she's obviously going to be, at the very least, by the end of the show, a finalist. All right. Less than 1 week to Halloween. Hope you're having a great start to your Friday. Good morning from Borgata. Man, what a big opportunity for the Eagles on Sunday. I got to tell you, I don't expect them to win because of the Hurts-Burrow difference, which I think is substantial at this point. But if they do, it'll be big. And I think it'll really juice up the town, which right now I still think is kind of, you know, holding back on the Eagles, and I understand it, rightfully so. 4-2, but, you know, the Browns game and the Giants game, I mean, you know, you're not exactly beating the 85 Bears and the 89.
No, they want to see the defense against a good quarterback.
You want to see that? Yeah. Look, it's two things. You want to see a defense against a good quarterback, and you want to see Hurts be better. And, you know, we'll see. I was struck this week. We did a poll, and about two-thirds of people said they believe in the defense more than Hurts the rest of the year, which I would agree with. So we'll see. We'll see what they've got. But it's a great opportunity, and obviously we'll set in motion for next week a big pendulum swing of how we feel. I mean, if they lose a close game, that's not the end of the world. But if they're really not particularly competitive, that'll be a problem. And, of course, if they win, that'll be tremendous. And then, you know, rev up the engine, let's roll. All right, 215-592-9494. This segment you're going to hear from Nick Sirianni, something he said to us earlier this week about the slow starts, how they can turn that around. Dick Vermeil at 8 o'clock, beat the Hammer at 7:45. Hammer's not messing around today, all right? Not messing around. And Elliot Shore Parks at 7:30. Let's go to Steve in Willow Grove. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi, Steve. And,
hey, congratulations on 8 years, the anniversary.
Thank you, sir. And,
thank you.
That was yesterday. If people are tuning in thinking it's today, that was yesterday. But we'll take the belated.
We can celebrate all week.
Long, long, long 8 years.
Sit next to this guy,
too
Steve.
Long,
I got to tell
some
you,
might
man.
Say.
Holy mackerel! Now, Steve, thanks for being a part of it, man. We enjoy doing the show.
How many for you, Rhea? How many for you, Rhea?
How many years?
Yeah.
27.
Wow,
that's amazing.
35 years experience there. Thank you guys for coming to work every day. I appreciate it. And not taking, you know, a day off where you got to travel or,
well, they
know,
haven't taken
whatever.
Her key cards away yet.
Yeah, so. I'll say this, Steve. I take a day off here and there.
I was going to say, you're talking to everyone but Joe, right?
I'm known
when
for
you
my
say
Mondays
that?
And Fridays off. You know, I maximize my 3- and 4-day week. I'm telling you, that's the way to do it, guys. 3- and 4-day weekends. It's a mental break. It's a Richie break. It's beautiful.
But you work it, Joe, and that's important, you know? You guys come to work, not like some professional
athletes. Oh, not like Joelle. I see what you just did right there.
We're doing back-to-backs Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Exactly. Joe.
Yeah.
Victory 300, and I heard you yesterday, your mom was your first producer.
That's right.
Will she be part of the 300th celebration we're going to have? Like,
I don't
can
know.
Mom make a cameo, you know, well,
I don't know. She's never been on the show. It's a possibility.
That would be
she's
great.
Been on the show. Her voice, we've talked to her, haven't we?
No.
Never?
I don't think so.
I thought we had... Well, I know we've talked to your sister.
Oh, yeah.
We have talked to your brother.
I don't think...
I thought at one point your mom called in.
I really don't think so. I could be wrong.
I know it...
I don't think so.
Well, what's... why?
All right.
What,
we got to make that happen.
Can't we hear a little more from... I mean, seems like she must be angelic.
I mean, yeah.
The woman.
I mean, she's my mom.
Persisted,
you know?
In the face of you.
I know. I'm well aware.
But without mom, we wouldn't have the one-of-a-kind Hammer.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Steve.
Yesterday's winning answer, one-of-a-kind, the Hammer.
Look, well, Steve, you're a good man. Steve, give me a great answer. Who's the most stylish person of all time? I can tell you it's not me, and it's not my mom. And I'm not ripping her, but it's just not.
Wow.
Well, listen, let me just go on the record. I'm married. You know I'm married. I have a wife. I have children. I have grandchildren. Ruben is one sharp.
Wow, okay. Ruben Amaro gets the stylish card. All right.
He does have really cool sneakers on today. I'll give him that.
And he's got a sweet corduroy shirt.
Yeah.
It's like a Western corduroy shirt that I thought was really cool. Like one of the coolest shirts around.
It's very nice of you to say that.
Ruben, here's the problem with
on.
There's a problem with you as an answer. And God bless you. I'm not ripping it. There is a clear winner for most stylish person on our show, all the characters that
and
are
it's
on our
me.
Show. It's not. Although you are up there, Devin. I'll admit, you're up there.
You just had a whole segment about me not being stylish.
About this ridiculous sock thing is ridiculous. But
I know who that person is, I think.
Rhea, go ahead.
Seth Joyner?
1,000%.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yep. 1,000%.
Even in sweats.
Yeah. No, I mean, Seth, it's
he's smooth.
Just cool.
He really is.
He looks cool.
He really is. All right, not cool, the Hammer, especially when I'm all arrogant and all that nonsense. But, you know, I try to lean in because, you know, I'm the Hammer. So, James, it's been a while since I've kind of cranked it up with a great victory. I mean, I've had great victories, but I've been subdued lately.
Yeah.
You have been.
Yeah.
Now, James, do you remember the staying alive thing? Because I might need to channel that today.
I do remember. Would you like to hear it? Or you want to save it? Or,
Because Matt Battle put this together a couple of years
back. I actually think it's one of the great things Matt Battle has ever done.
All right, let's listen to something. Battle, he works behind the scenes in production with us, and he's just a great guy and expert at what he does. A couple of years ago, he created this.
Wow!
Will rain again in 20 minutes.
That's pretty awesome.
I dance around my studio by myself every time I play it.
James, one more time. Let me get one more. It's good. Let me get one more time.
Wow! Up! Wow! Yeah! Wow! Up! Yeah! Shut his hole!
I don't know how he did it.
It's so good.
It's really good, man. It really is. So some people are talented. You know who's also talented? Joe Wechter. Let's go from one production piece to the next. So, you know, one of the things we love about the show is obviously we can be creative to give you a show and come up with ideas and put stuff together and be like, hey, let's hire Ruben Amari. He'd be a great addition to the show. No question. All right. So we try to do our best to give you creativity. But we also love feedback from you about what we can do. And sometimes we'll implement it. We received late in the show yesterday a call when a guy's like,
It was Time's Yours.
When the guy's like, you know, could you put together a montage of Philadelphia figures crying? And I was like, well, that kind of came out of nowhere, but could we? Yeah, I guess we could. Could it be funny? Yeah, I would tend to think so. So Joe Wechter went into the lab in the last 21 hours and has created a montage of crying. James Seltzer, I tend to think it should be pretty good. I remember some notables through the years. Let's roll out what we got.
Some 18 years ago, I left Dayton, Ohio, with two very bad knees and a dream to become a Major League Baseball player. I thank God that dream came true.
Where I announce that I am retiring after 13 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles.
He was so much more to me than most players, and I identified with him,
yep.
I think.
When I had the opportunity to come back here, you know, it was just something I couldn't turn it down. And I'm just happy.
You people may not know the relationship I've had with Charlie. He's a special person. This is difficult for me. I hope he stays in our organization.
And I've always been, as a player, that did not want to disappoint his coaches. And gentlemen, I didn't want to disappoint y'all.
Hungry dogs run fast.
Last 2 weeks after we won, I found myself in the shower crying, dreaming of this moment.
That meant everything to me. Let's go to the phones. 888, I'm sorry to cry. I'm just very emotional.
I'm sorry.
I'd like to say thank you to the fans of Philadelphia who have supported us when we weren't so good. We're getting better, and we're going to do it.
I want to say thank you so much, and I thank Philadelphia for this opportunity. I promise you it won't be a regret.
I mean, this is really...
I don't know what made that guy call yesterday and say that, but it was an interesting idea.
It's a great idea.
And Ruben's featured, John's featured, I'm featured.
We don't give enough credit to how ugly Tyrese Maxey's cry is.
Oh, my God.
That is an ugly cry.
Painful.
It's that one sound he makes at one point where it's like, how did that emerge from your mouth?
I know.
You know, AI's in there. You got Lindros. You got Schmitty. It's really
good. And
well
you got the
done.
Roy Orbison in at the end.
It's really good,
I think,
man.
It's easy to forget Doc? That Tyrese really, like, that's the moment we met him.
Well, that's
right.
The
moment we met him. We had no idea what made this guy tick.
Yeah.
And like, I wasn't ready for that. Like,
no.
I, I was a little taken aback. It was sort of like a rocky start for me. What the heck?
Yeah.
And then he went out and just did his thing, which is like every single day he has proven how much it meant to him.
He backed it up, man.
Oh, my gosh. Never have I seen someone back it up like he has.
Yeah, no, it's really well done. All right, so well done also by Wechter. We thank him. That's a chance. We'll have to save that for the archives.
That's a keeper.
And by the way, if you think we're missing anybody, and I'm sure we are, you know, let us
oh,
know.
Oh, yeah, the ever-growing crying montage.
That can be attitude, to say the least. All right, let's talk to our next guest. Elliot Shore Parks does a spectacular job covering the Eagles for us here. And, of course, the Eagles got a big game on Sunday. They really do. It's not a huge point spread. They're an underdog. Got a shot, for sure. And it's a fascinating matchup. Elliot, good morning, pal.
What up? How you guys doing?
Elliot, which was your favorite there? You heard. That was like 7 or 8 or 9 different dudes. What's your favorite?
I mean, look, nothing will ever top Richie. Richie, I love you with all my heart. But that the Richie crying is really the funny.
This is really...
it's so pure. That's what makes it so funny.
I'll tell you, the one of Lindros, which was different in nature than others. Some were celebratory and all. I mean, his was like, we're going to do it. Like, there's very few things that have ever been said by an athlete to pump me up more in the moment. Because I put the percentage at that moment that the Flyers would win a cup with him at, like, 99%. So, obviously, they didn't. It's a shame, but he was an incredible player. All right, Elliot, let's get to this game. So, a couple aspects to it. Let's start with the Eagles' defense against Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Man, will we be overjoyed on Monday if we come in here and say the Eagles' defense stifled Joe Burrow. Do you think they have that in their bag? Are they good enough to do that to that quarterback and these receivers?
I think it's possible, but it reminds me a little bit of the debate me and, frankly, Rhea used to have a lot about Jonathan Gannon, right? Where I think the expectations for what a great game against this defense need to be put, like, in perspective. If the Eagles can go into Cincinnati and hold the Bengals to, like, 25 points, I think that's a good outcome.
Oh, that's a win.
That's a good outcome for this defense. As the Bengals, while they have not beaten anybody of quality, and that is noteworthy, you know, going into this game, Joe Burrow has been outstanding this year. And their offensive line, while still not great, is improved. So if the Eagles defense goes into Cincinnati and, you know, they give up 25 points or whatever, like, I'm not going to sit here and go, well, those 2 weeks were flukes. Like, I think it's a very, very tough matchup for this defense.
How are we from a health perspective, Elliot?
So they're in pretty good shape. It looks like Zach Vaughn is going to play. That's obviously a big deal because I just said the Cincinnati offense is really good. And I think it's important that this defense of the 11 starters and, you know, the 12 guys that play or whatever, like the more reps they get together uninterrupted with guys missing with injury, I think the better they'll be. You've seen that over the last 2 weeks. So Zach Vaughn playing is a big deal. On the offensive side, they're going to be missing Mekhi Becton and Dallas Goedert. I don't think either of those two players will play. They haven't practiced all week. Mekhi Becton still recovering from that concussion, and Dallas Goedert still recovering from that hamstring injury. So they'll be without those two guys. And, you know, that's a loss. Like, Tyler's team has played well, I think, in spot duty when he's been asked to go in for Mekhi Becton. But as we've seen with Fred Johnson played well coming off the bench. But the two games he had to start this year, he really struggled. So the Mekhi Becton loss is a big one.
You know, more on the offense here, Elliot, because obviously the slow starts have been alarming. I want to play some audio of Sirianni. He joined us on the program on Tuesday, and John, asked about the slow starts. Let's listen to his answer.
Nick, what's one thing you can do differently offensively this week to focus on starting faster?
Yeah, obviously that's a big, that's a big thought process for us, and we're dedicated to do everything we can possibly do to score early, score in the first quarter. We'd love to score on that first drive, and so, you know, those are things that you go through throughout the week, and you want to do plays that you feel like have the best chance to succeed, so you can get started fast. Every game's a little bit different, and one thing that you think is going to work, the defense's focus is on, and then you got to adjust. What do we do to start fast? And again, like I said, I can't give away all the secrets that we're searching, right? We're searching for it because we haven't been good. It's been 6 games and we haven't scored in the first quarter. So, that's always going to be us putting, as coaches, putting them in positions to succeed, and the players executing. And so, you know, that's going to be on our mind. You know, our first and second down plan will be on our mind, and then we're going to, you know, just like always, we're going to talk about, you know, which ones of those first and second down plans. Plays can go in there for the openers to ensure that we get off to a hot start.
So, Elliot, obviously he's not going to give you too much specifics, nor should he. But what do you think the reason is, and what can they do about it?
So I think part of it is definitely execution. If you go and look in the first quarter, I mean, you go back to week one, Jalen had the two turnovers. You know, I think this execution early on has definitely been a problem. But ultimately, over six games, and this is kind of like a larger, you know, point here in terms of talking about Jalen versus the coaching, which I know is something we debate quite a bit. Like, six games, no points, that's absolutely on Nick and Kellen Moore. Like, you can't go out for six games and not score a single point. We had Landon Dickerson on the Players Lounge 2 weeks ago, and he made an interesting point that those first few drives, defenses play the Eagles so unique compared to what how they normally play other teams. Like, they'll watch a team on tape, see what they do, and then when they play the Eagles, it's always something completely different. And so it takes them a drive or two to adjust to that in terms of how they're bringing pressure, what the defense is doing. So maybe that's part of it. But ultimately, these slow starts are going to hurt them, especially in a game like Cincinnati, where you're going in there, it's going to be a hostile environment, the Bengals really need the win, you're going up against good offense. Like, they're really lucky that these slow starts haven't hurt them more than they already have.
Yeah, wow. We've made nothing about the fact that we have a player on our team in Sidney Brown whose brother is the starting running back for the team that we're playing. What's going on with that whole dynamic, Elliot? Is Sidney Brown going to be a bigger part of our defense this week? We know that he's coming back from, you know, being out.
Three words, Elliot. Light him up. I'm not going to say knock him out. That's not PC these days.
Get him back for stealing your toy when you were eight.
Light him up!
Now, this is pretty incredible.
Twin
brothers, and they're playing each other.
Well, it's not irony, but you don't see it often. Running back, hard-hitting safety.
Yeah.
Like, that's a unique combination.
They're going to face off.
Yeah, they are.
In likelihood.
Yeah.
In this game.
What do you make of it and his role this year moving forward,
yeah,
Elliot?
Well, the bad news for Sidney is Vic Fangio doesn't strike me as a sentimental type. I don't think he's really put out there. Right? And right now, I just don't think Sidney Brown has a role on this defense. Now, it doesn't mean he won't be out there for a handful of snaps. It doesn't mean if there's an injury moving forward, he couldn't get out there. But that back seven, or I guess back four if you're talking about Sidney, like, has been pretty good. Like, Darius Slay has played at a high level this year. Quinion's been awesome. The safeties have both been relatively good and have improved as the season has gone on. So, you know, much like with the Zach Bond thing, where it's a positive he's going to be out there, just the fact that they have been able to keep their defensive starters together for so many games in a row and get quality reps, I just don't think that's something you interrupt because, you know, Sidney's brother is on the other team.
Yeah. All right, Elliot, one more thing, but just first let me say, in 5 minutes, beat the hammer. Obviously, we'll take the fifth caller on the contest line. Caller five, you'll compete. Likely lose, but you never know. In beat the hammer, caller five at 215-988-1258. Fifth caller, 215-988-1258, will compete in 5 minutes. So, Elliot, final thing here. You know, it's funny, as a station, as a show, as fans, I think we try to uncover every element of this team and talk about it pretty extensively. There's an aspect I think we've done a poor job talking about because it's big and it's barely been mentioned. Six games in, they've only created two turnovers.
Yeah.
Like, that means they're on pace to create six turnovers for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So what the hell, man? What is going on with that?
Yeah, so I know it's something that they've really, really started to put an emphasis on down there because it is a big problem, right? You saw Nick Sirianni go to the podium last week in the T-shirt with Reed Blankenship. Like, they talk about it a lot. But as to why it's not happening, and especially it's especially troublesome when you consider the quarterback they've been, right? They haven't faced, like, a murderer's row of quarterbacks. But I think ultimately the reason they haven't been able to force turnovers is because they don't really get pressure on the quarterback. Like, the last 2 weeks, they have. But, like, ultimately over these first six games, they're not consistently forcing the quarterback into making poor decisions because the quarterbacks are mostly playing with a clean pocket. So until they start to get consistent pressure, I don't think you're going to see many more turnovers.
I agree. And I'll tell you this, Elliot. While the two Reed Blankenship sliding catches were nice, I feel like they've dropped three to five easy balls. I mean, Quinion Mitchell, and I love him, but he's dropped a couple.
Yeah.
No question.
Yes, yeah, absolutely part of it.
All right, Elliot, stay well, bud. We shall talk to you on Tuesday. Thanks, dude.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you.
Thanks, all right, Elliot Short Parks. All right, Pete the Hammer in a couple minutes. Let's go to Patrick in Tabernacles. We broadcast this morning from Borgata. Good morning, Patrick.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Doing great, Patrick.
Hey, John Ritchie, man, good deal. The only thing missing in your life right now, John, is some smallmouth bass fishing on the Susquehanna River.
Man. Yeah, I've done that. I've been there.
Awesome. Going there again, man.
Catfish and smallmouth. You're going?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got to hook you up with this guy's number. I'm telling you. It's a quick trip, and he'll put you right on fish.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good dude, too. He's he takes care of some celebrities. You'll fit right in with him. Listen, the Eagles, I'm kind of fired up about the game with this. You know, I've been kind of, you know, I'm like lukewarm with the birds here. You know, I'm happy to see Jalen like protecting the ball the last couple day games.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's got to continue.
You're lukewarm though. It feels like everyone is kind of lukewarm.
This game is either going to change it or solidify it.
I do think that.
Seriously.
It's a telling week.
Yeah.
It feels like it's going to turn up the heat or ice it up.
And I'll say in a way that few games do. Like, this one is a big swing. You're either really in or you're like, I know it. Anyway, Patrick, go ahead.
I'm going to be more in on them if the defense, and listen, we have some good young defensive guys, you know, and that's what I'm looking at. And let's see what they can do against Burroughs. I mean, he's a legit NFL quarterback. I don't care about
the record. He is a star.
He is. He's got star wide receivers.
Yeah. Look, he's probably a future Hall of Famer if he stays healthy.
You
pretty much got to win a Super Bowl to get that at that position. But he's got the makings of being a Hall of Famer.
This is such a major test for our young cornerbacks. Such an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited for them. You know, a lot of this can be overcome by just rising up and having emotion. Like, you rise up and you hit your way out of whatever predicament you're in as a team. I'm telling you, that serves you well.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah.
Just hit, like, Sidney Brown being back. These young players being out there. They want to go hit. Older guys, they don't have that same want to to prove themselves. We got young guys running around trying to make a name for themselves.
That really makes
a difference.
I'm smelling a house of pain. I'm smelling great wide receivers across the middle. Bang! Wes Hopkins, that freaking forearm to, who was it, Ernest Givens?
It was Ernest Givens. It broke his nose across the middle.
I'm feeling a...
They don't really allow you to do that anymore,
but imagine.
But I think it would be worth Cooper DeGene. 15-yard penalty, knock out Jamar Chase.
Well,
break his nose.
Let's just wrap up and tackle soundly and put shoulders on people. Really, knock them back.
Put Sidney Brown in for a play. Let him take somebody out. And then, you know, if he gets thrown out for targeting, he gets thrown out.
Now I'm thinking Temple and John Chaney. Send in the goons.
Well, you know.
was that controversial?
I always believe in that.
That was actually not good and certainly not good to admit.
It was not good to use that phraseology.
All right, Patrick, give me a great answer. The most stylish person of all time is who?
Yeah, how about David Bowie?
David Bowie, is that a good answer?
Absolutely. He was pretty stylish. He was like kind of forward
for
thinking.
Cutting edge style. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, fair enough on Bowie. Hey, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the all-new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Two different poll questions. The first, who wins on Sunday? Will it be A, the Eagles, or B, the Bengals? Second poll question today, we know the Sixers are saying Joel's going to be out for the first three games. We're not happy, but we know that. Do you think he plays game four? Yes or no on the fourth game? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly weigh in at 215-592-9494. Speaking of weighing in, I see a contestant on the line. Let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer. On Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hammer not messing around today. And First Trust Bank, of course, is always the sponsor of Beat the Hammer. They're very smart people. They know to sponsor the Hammer. Although they also sponsor, I suppose, the contestant as well. But typically that's a loser. But you don't have to be a loser because with First Trust Bank, you'll be a winner. You know, they are the largest family-owned commercial bank in our region. The largest. found it in South Philadelphia in 1934. The official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles with a record of 264-42 beat the Hammer with our contestant Jimmy in Southwest Philadelphia challenging me today. Jimmy, I got to check your sanity. Why in, like, you know, the world do you challenge the Hammer?
Oh, man, it seems like a good Friday for a challenge, bud.
Good answer.
So, yep. Jimmy, let me tell you something on my mind, and there's probably no one else thinking this, but it bugs me. James, there's one aspect of Beat the Hammer that really bothers me a lot, and it is the Hammer's greatness.
No.
And oh, that bothers you a lot. Sure. It bothers me a lot.
Yeah, and
too.
I'm going to tell you why. Because,
everybody.
Listen, math isn't the most exciting thing on the air. I learned that years ago. But I just want to put in context how almost impossible it is for me to dramatically raise my winning percentage. So I did the math last night. With 264 wins and 42 losses, I've won 86.27% of the time. If I win the next 10 in a row, I'm still at 86%. Jimmy, that's not fair. Like, you know, I mean, I'm still like, you know, it will. I figured this out last night. If I win 50 straight, I'm only up in the 88th percentile.
Do you not have
that
anything?
That aggravates me.
No, do you not have anything better to do with your time than figure out your percentages and beat the Hammer if you win the next 10?
I admit I'm a dork.
My God, yes.
But Ruben, this is when greatness holds you back. My wins work against me. I figured it out last night. To get to 90%, I got to win 114 straight. That's not fair.
Just play, baby. Just play.
Yep.
All right.
That's right.
Jimmy, yeah. We're not going to do what Ernie Banks said when he said, let's play two. We're going to play one. And I'm going to wish you good luck. But you feel confident, Jimmy?
I am. I'm going to try not to embarrass Rhea. I'm a St. Barnabas kid.
So. Southwest, that's my home. The Barney's is where I grew up, Jimmy. You got to do me proud.
There you go. All right, Jimmy, I'm going to step into the soundproof booth or down the hallway, whatever we call it now. Good luck to you, pal.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, scram.
Got to see this run.
Get out of here.
Oh, no, he doesn't run down there.
No, he'll walk extremely slow.
Yeah, he kind of saunters a bit.
It's great.
If you watch him.
Good. We're doing a live radio show. Here.
Oh, no,
he took his glasses off. I guess that's to be cooler.
His shoes are untied. He might fall.
Oh, my God, they are. Do we tell him? Probably
no,
not.
Falling would be hilarious.
That, I mean, exactly.
I just here's what you do: start filming, you know.
Yeah.
So we can make sure to get that up. Yeah.
He looks so
lost.
Now,
he looks so lost and small.
He looks like
in
your
the distance,
grandfather wandering
he?
Around the casino.
What
lost.
Is he doing? Oh,
all right. Is
anyway,
he?
Anyway, he's yes. Yeah, all he's
right.
away.
All Let's right, go. Jim, you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. Our category for the week, we mentioned a little bit earlier, it starts tonight. We're doing a little World Series trivia. Are you ready to roll, sir?
Yep, let's go.
Let's go. Clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. Juan Soto is one of three current Yankees players who have played in a World Series before. Name one of the other two.
Pass.
Last season, Bruce Bochy became the third manager to win the World Series, managing both an AL and an NL team. Name one of the other two.
Pass.
Four pitchers have a World Series ERA under one with a minimum of 35 innings pitched. Name one of them.
Kurt Schilling.
Joe Carter has one of the six World Series clinching walk-off hits since 1950. Name two other players who've done it.
Kirk Gibson and J. Roll.
There are four teams that have made it to the World Series but never lost one. Name one of them.
Four teams made it to the World Series and never lost one. Let's go with the Oakland Athletics.
Juan Soto, one of three current Yankees who have played in the World Series before. Name one of the other two.
Don't know it.
All right, let's move to the next one. Last season, Bruce Bochy became the
third.
Jimmy, not the best. We're going to put you on hold.
Man, listen, man. Didn't note him.
Well, yeah, very clearly, Jimmy. We all got that. We're going to put Jimmy on hold.
All right, he's walking tough. Back. He's jogging.
He's jogging.
He's got the strangest jog.
What a miracle. I've seen this.
Can he jog?
He tied his shoes.
Yeah, he tied. He actually cleaned up quite a bit.
Oh, my God. He's got a
high-five the guard. A security guard. I don't think...
She sort of sloughed him off.
Yeah, she wasn't into it.
Like, what she are you wasn't doing? Impressed.
Hello.
Joe, why did you jog?
Why not?
I
appreciate the hustle.
Yeah.
I've just never seen it.
It's getting loose.
Trying to show Joel how to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Get into it, you know?
Is that how that works?
Stretch those legs. You know, I was thinking about it. James, it's almost unfair I got to win 114 in a row to go from 86 to 90%.
Everyone feels really, really,
no,
really tough
for you. No, man, it's ridiculous. 114 straight? Something's not right.
You know what? You shouldn't have lost those 42, and you'd be closer to 90%.
That's correct. Yeah. All right, James, how did this Jimmy in Southwest Philly?
All right, you ready to roll here?
Ben.
Category for today. It's starting tonight. Well, World Series trivia. You ready to roll?
World Series trivia.
World Series.
Sure. 1903.
All right, here we go. Question.
But then not in 1904.
Yes. You got the first question right. All right, here we go. Question number one. Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Here we go. Question number one. Juan Soto is one of three current Yankees players who have played in a World Series before. Name one of the other two.
Name one of the other two. Garrett Cole.
Last season, Bruce Bochy became the third manager to win the World Series, managing both an AL and an NL team. Name one of the other two.
Okay, so three managers that have won it in both leagues. That would be Sparky Anderson.
Four pitchers have a World Series ERA under one with a minimum of 35 innings pitched. Name one of them.
Four pitchers under one, minimum of 35 innings?
Yes.
I'll say Rivera.
Joe Carter has one of six World Series clinching walk-off hits since 1950. Name two other players who've done it.
Well, you shouldn't ask that. The answer is Luis Gonzalez and Bill Mazeroski.
There are four teams that have made it to a World Series but never lost one. Name one of them.
The Marlins.
The Hammer. On the road to 114 straight, 113 to go for the listen, why bother? This guy, Jimmy, how'd he do? What matter?
Yeah, how do you know you won?
Because I'm me and he's not. I'm the Hammer, okay? Like, just, I mean, I hope people don't think I'm that arrogant. But as the Hammer, I have reason to
Nobody thinks that.
As the Hammer, I have reason to be. It is what it is. There's a reason Jordan stuck out his tongue. He knew he was going to dunk on your ass. Jordan! Hammer. Jimmy. Jimmy?
Yes, Joseph.
Jimmy? Jimmy, you're Ben Simmons. I'm Mike.
That was great.
Wow.
All
right. Joe, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Listen, it's not as easy as I thought it was. It's not easy. You deserve your flowers. Congratulations, my
Thank
friend.
You, sir. Oh,
look at that. And I say this every time. It's hard
nice
to
job,
the first
Jimmy.
Time
nice
to get
loser.
On there.
Yeah.
Bad job on the question, but nice job.
I noticed Ruben said nice loser. I will say nice loser.
Joe, can I say one more thing?
Oh, my God.
What you got, Jimmy?
I just want to let everyone know I spent no time thinking about Beat the Hammer last night.
Clearly, Jimmy.
Jimmy, you probably should have, pal.
Fairly
you
obvious.
Probably
it might have helped.
Jimmy, because you're a fine fella, and I'm just going to make Seltzer's job easier and not having to pick up the contest line.
Thank you. Very kind.
We're going to award you the prize. By the way, how many did you get right?
Zero. You got zero.
Oh. I don't know if he should get the prize. John, should he get the prize?
I think you've already started down this path.
I did.
You can't offer it to him and not give
fair.
It to him.
All right, fair. Jimmy, you've won an Eagles knit hat, my man. Enjoy that this winter and brush up on your Philly sports knowledge.
Thank you, guys.
It was a great World Series knowledge.
All right, Jimmy, I'm going to put you on hold so we can get your information. And with that, and by the way, let me say, of course, it's victory 265. You guys know I love those clean numbers, denominations of 5 and 10, 265. That's good. That guy challenged me. He obviously failed.
It's not good. Like, what does that matter?
It's better than 264.
Why?
It does not matter at all.
Know.
Something about Archimedes and round numbers. I don't know. I mean, isn't one a cooler number than 1.1?
I don't think it's a round number.
It's just one's a better number than 1.1. Just better.
But 1.1.
10's better than 9.
1.1
My point is,
I like
the clean numbers.
But you would never have, like, 2.1 losses regardless.
No, it was kind of weird. Hey, by the way, that guy challenged me. Obviously, he failed. You do not have to fail with commercial banking. Challenge your bank to do better for you. If they do not, then get yourself to First Trust Bank, where your business will be in great shape. With Victory 265, let's shut it down.
One more time.
The Hammer's back.
Shut his hole.
Yeah. Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Now, there was quite the contrast today. Zero
you did good.
And
that was
five.
Strong.
It was as dominant as you've been.
Well,
and
as
I
dominant as I can
that.
Be.
I don't want to encourage you, but I thought that was
Thank
a
you,
nice
sir.
Job.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, you did good today. That was
the, the problem is my winning percentage went from 86.27 to 86.31. I don't like that. Let's go to the phones.
I don't know why that matters at all.
Because it's like, a slow climb is my point. Yeah. All right, Dick Vermeil joins us in a couple minutes. Ed in Phoenixville right now as we get ready for the Eagles and the Bengals on Sunday. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Hammer. I think the last playoff theme baseball Hammer was another 5-0 skunking at the expense of moi. So starting to notice a trend here. But I don't want to go to extremes with the Sixers thing, and I'm not an attorney. I grew up in a house with them, but it feels almost like a breach of fiduciary duty. Like this team has a duty to the season ticket holders to at least have some modicum of honesty and disclosure to what they're doing, and they're just blowing that to crap.
Absolutely. The entire NBA, professional sports, has a level of honesty that's required. It is your job to be honest about every injury that mounts. This is a problem.
This organization has never felt this way, though. They have never felt this way. I mean, it's the way they've been since the process has started.
That's right.
And everybody was fine with it. And so they operate in that vacuum that it doesn't matter.
Ed, you know what I thought of this week for the first time, at least since the process years? I really, meaning when they weren't trying to win, I really wonder if Adam Silver, when he's with his lieutenant, says, you know what, damn it, I wish Josh Harris didn't buy the team. I wish we didn't let him buy the team. Because he is a pain in the ass to the NBA. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, whether you supported the process when they were tanking on purpose or not, it caused a hell of a problem for the NBA. And they continue to cause problems. And by the way, it's not just for ticket holders, both in Philadelphia and across the league, who people buy tickets. I want to see Embiid play in Oklahoma City. It's a problem on the gambling front. I mean, the league is in bed with gambling entities. And so people are making bets all through the summer, over under on wins.
Sure.
Who's going to win the MVP?
Oh, this is major.
It's
sure. If Joel is going to play for less than half the games, I don't know. I was expecting to at least try to play in the season. Like now, it feels different.
Yeah,
it feels different when you say, "Hey, the first week in its entirety, we're just going to discount it. He's just not going to show up for this."
Yeah,
that feels different.
I go the route of Charles Barkley. Aren't they paid to play?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Are the players paid to play? Yes or no? Yes. I want to know whether they're paid to play.
He's
then
one of
play.
The highest paid.
Play 81 games, not 62.
Yeah. All right. Let's. So Ed, great call. I agree with a lot of what you said there. Give me the most stylish person of all time, Ed.
It's got to be Jay Wright.
He's already been said. Rhea said him. Give me someone else.
How about the jet flying, kiss stealing, wheel and dealing, Ric Flair?
Ric Flair, the wrestling style. John, do you like that answer?
I mean, Ric Flair believes he is the most stylish man in the world.
I mean, he was a stylish
Some people
wrestler.
Are of that opinion as
yeah,
well.
I wouldn't put him too high up there, but in the wrestling world, he was. I'll grant that.